This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
When the Hilton Waikoloa Village Resort opened back in 1988, the landscape architects created a 62-acre tropical paradise by planting exotic plants and trees. Today, to maximize the resort's ecosystem, Hilton's head gardener, Raymond Keenan, is removing exotics and introducing native Hawaiian plants across the resort. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me with Hilton's head gardener, Raymond Keenan, to discover the numerous environmental and economic spin-off benefits of utilizing native Hawaiian plant species. Additionally, Keenan has been enhancing the ecosystem at the resort's Ankealine Pond. It's a landlocked body of water with a subterranean connection to the ocean. By removing invasive fish species and mitigating the use of fertilizers in adjacent areas. Raymond Keenan, landscape manager here at the Hilton Waikoloa Village on the Big Island of Hawaii. So how long have you been here?
I've been here at the Hilton Waikoloa for about a year and a half.
You came here with a specific kind of dream and vision, didn't you, for the flora?
Yeah, I did. I spent some time in Maui growing up there, and then I got into native Hawaiian plants there, 94 to 98. That's where I caught the bug, the specialty of native Hawaiian plants, and then found that I needed to get my horticulture base down. So I went back to the mainland for 20 years, California, Arizona, Florida. And got a good base, knowing full well that every day I learned something new. How could I apply that when I get back?
The ultimate vision was always there.
Correct.
But you didn't know when and where exactly.
Right, exactly. I would have taken any of the islands as long as I could work with these special plants.
So the Hilton here, it's a large property, a lot of acreage. Mm-hmm. And this was, before the development, raw, brutal, volcanic outcroppings with minimal soil.
Correct.
So you have done major transformations.
Well, again, I mean, it's been here for years and years. I just got on board a year and a half, so all this...
I don't mean you, but the
oh, few, of course.
Since the current iteration and development and whatnot, mm-hmm. this has been rebirthed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
And so tell us about your mission with native plants here.
It changes. Right now, my main goal is to bring native Hawaiian plants into a resort landscape and properly use horticultural techniques to further their health and to show that they're just as good as any of the exotics that all the nurserymen brought in over the years. And then have a great palette, have something that's successful, aesthetically pleasing, and then have the other hotels throughout the islands go, hey, this is something we could do, successful. I'm the only hotel in the world that's growing some of these stuff. And so when I work with it, I just feel so special because I know that no one else is doing this.
Give us an example of some of the unique species you're dealing with here.
One of the ones that I got, it's right across the way there, Ohe Makai. I got it from Drive Force Initiative, which is right up the road there. And they gave me some seedlings, and I'm growing them out. A larger dry forest tree, only found here in the Hawaiian Islands. And then just planting around them with some other plants like Hawaiian cotton, a'ali'i, ohia, another one I have over there, sephora, mamani. I'm not just doing the regular three. I'm really stretching, grabbing as much as I can.
The Big Island is the Big Island. And as such, as you well know, it has a huge breadth of biodiversity, from one of the wettest spots on Earth to a very dry and almost desert-like environments. So you're sourcing plant species with a great diversity.
Correct, and that really brings up a challenge, is that it's pretty hard to get plant material. There's not a lot of nurseries that grow. A lot of nurseries grow the exotics, you know, some things that everybody wants to plant. So my other goal is, once I start getting a need out there, then of course there'll be money to be made. So then nurseries will then start growing them, and hopefully it'll go on and on. There's a lot of pressure involved.
And of the natives, what are fruit bearing?
None. Because they lost when they got here. They evolved, and so all the fruit went away. There's a lot that are related to fruit bearers on the mainland, but they've since lost.
Isn't that interesting?
Right.
So tell us what you've been focused on and concentrating on over the last year.
Attaining plants, And really actually going around the property and looking at those areas that would work really well with native wine plants. You know, mainly what you want to do, and one of the problems that I see out there is people use a native plant. They'll put one plant by itself in the middle of a lawn, and really native wine plants, their ecosystem, they don't work that way. You need, we call it a kipuka or a mosaic, where you're planting 2, 3, 4 species right next to each other, because that's how they grow. We know now that there's a lot of communication within roots, and I think native plants they're the same way. So I'm really looking at those combinations that will work for myself and also actually an ingredient. It's a quick book that someone could look at and say, I'm going to get this, put it in. It's going to work well.
So part of your vision is like a landscape designer, in that it's an aesthetic of what you place where. Has a huge visual component.
Correct. Knowing, you know, these are horticultural basics of knowing the maturity, the height, you know, and the locales. So you had mentioned the wettest spot and the dry spot. You know, I'm not taking things from the mountain. I'm taking things from dry forest and low elevation and coastal and focusing on them, because that's where I'm at and that's what you do. So in that respect, that's a challenge as well.
What were you doing yesterday, day before?
You know, right now I'm watching things grow, and I'm looking at things like nutrient deficiencies. I'm looking at water needs. A lot of these plants, I've done a lot of the coastals, I've done a lot of the stuff, and now I'm moving into the little higher elevation stuff I'm able to bring in here, like the Ohe Makai and Ohia and things like that, and really looking at pests. I'm looking at, you know, what's affecting and what am I going to use from a horticultural standpoint. I tell you, with native wine plants and natives in Arizona, natives in Florida, you know, you have a one thought process of, you know, these things have always been here. They're super strong. They don't need anything. That's not true. They're like any other plant. Treat them as your prized rose, okay? I'm feeding them. I'm using nutrients. I'm using water. Making sure that they're going.
What type of nutrients do you typically do? Do you make your own teas?
Right now, I'm doing organics, and it's granule. And I do soil samples every 6 months, certain areas around the property. And right here, really, our nitrogen's good. I think we're looking at potassium phosphorus deficiencies that are occurring and stuff like that. So I'm putting it with granules, and then I would love to go flowable. I just need to get some on order. For some of them, for some of the ones that I really want to tweak out. But again, I'm trying to get it simple, so that anybody can do it. You know, this is not brain science. Let's get it and let's get this stuff out there, because it's not looking too good when you go hiking around. There's not much left.
Nitrogen fixing legumes. Mm. Talk to us about that.
We have one that I grow is. The one that I saw, actually, I just pulled some up because I had relocated. I have Vigna Marina, which is Nenea, which is a native ground cover, beach pea, yellow beach pea. And it does. It has rhizobium. And then, of course, the other legumes that I have are Kohaya that I grow down here. I'm not low enough for Kohaya. I'm not high enough for Kohaya. So I do Kohaya, which is an acacia, which is in the same family. Twice as dense as Kohaya. So I'm able to grow it. It's just right up the hill.
The wood is colorful.
I'm not sure. All I've read is that it's twice as dense, but it's much smaller. And the uses, I'm not sure. I know there were uses for it. But that's another nitrogen fixer as well.
Tell us a little bit more about what your vision is going forward, how you want to change and evolve the property from a landscape standpoint.
Mainly, it's taking very large areas. For instance, we have a Makai Sea walkway path, and that's definitely going to be all 100% native there. Not only is it special, but also to these plants have evolved so that the salt spray comes up. Salt tolerance is there, excellent. And then, of course, using mosaics, so 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 species within. And also having the guests look at it. And they don't need a plaque or anything, because I've been to so many places where they have this little plaque and there's a species there. Forget it. They should just say it's beautiful. And it's just as nice as all the exotics. And, you know, by the way, guys, that's Native Hawaii. Okay, that's what used to be here, you know. So in the future, really growing out and seeing where I can put these native plants in kipukas, little areas throughout the hotel, next to the exotics as well. Seeing who does well where. But definitely increasing numbers and getting some of these guys to maturity and really showing the ones that I've seen hiking and all the beauty. I got these little guys, and I keep telling him, just wait, just give me a little time. I'm a little impatient sometimes, so.
You hurry up.
Yeah, right, right. So I'm pumping them, I'm giving what they need and trying to get it going. So.
And you have a nursery on property?
Yeah, we do. I do have it, and people have said, oh, it doesn't look too great and everything. Well, but you know, nurseries are simply a place where you can have controlled irrigation and you have shade or sun. And really, a nurseryman is simply one who knows when to take that plant out from the shade to the sun. And it doesn't have to be fancy. We don't need heating trays or anything or liquid nutrients per se here. So I do a lot of cuttings and stuff like that and seeds when I can. But again, remember, I'm trying to get the nursery, local nurseries in it. So I'm trying to go, yeah, I could do some, but I really want to rely on them and put some...
Is it so you can stay focused? Why?
Well, because I want them to start growing. If they start growing, then more people will start buying, and hopefully we'll get a lot more plants out in the landscape. So that's a real big goal of mine as well.
So you're a firm believer in planting plants.
Yes, correct. Yeah, but in a correct horticultural situation, I pull out large trees all the time because they were planted in the wrong place. And I'm talking generally. A young man came up to me beginning of this year and he said, Ray, you know, there's, you know, trees and plants have dignity. And I thought that was so important because if you sit there and plant a tree and then you start pollarding it and cutting it down because it's in the way of something or you want it to stay a certain size, then why did you plant it there? And really, that's my biggest thing against, landscape architects, you know. But I won't go there and go on with that. But, it's definitely right plant for the right place for me and looking at all the variables.
And just color and the canopy, those are important variables?
Color is going to come. I mean, if it's an annual bedding, we do have some on property. Where I came from in Florida and Arizona is big. A lot of annuals, a lot of annual changeouts. Here, it's not so big. A lot of the tropicals have colorful leaves and things like that. They do their own. My consideration for me is, you know, when you plant properly, then your maintenance goes down. And my guys don't have to do so much weeding when you cover areas. So in addition to right plant for the right place, remember, you know, you have understory, midstory, and overstory. And I think people, when they look at a landscape that's attractive, you know, it has all those factors. Not necessarily it's lined up and it's perfectly shaped like a little marble. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about full. You're talking about a vine species, perhaps an understory, and then a shrub, and then a tree. And if you follow that, I think you're going to go a long way. And that's not just here. That's in your home as well.
And is disease a threat ongoing? Is something you're always watching for?
Yes, definitely. You know, I tell you, when I spent 10 years working in Florida, and that's kind of the disease capital, pardon my French, but they have so much stuff coming at them. So I really learned there the diseases of turf and plants and annuals and things like that. And I haven't seen the pressure yet, okay? We don't have a lot. I simply don't have to use as much fungicides and things of that nature. We do have pests. We do have insects, definitely, but not. It just seems like we don't have the disease. You covered most of the things we're doing here. Again, I can't stress the uniqueness of it. When I was working on the mainland, I did everything from tree trimming to you name it, golf course. And there was never any feeling. And of course, like you said, it was always in the back of my mind to get back. Here, everything that I do is something special because it's so unique. And not only this, but, you know, we have other things. We have an ankylosing pool that we take care of. An ankylosing pool is tidal, and it's full of things called opai and opai ula, which are crustaceans. They're only found here in Hawaii, and so I maintain that as well. So the weeds are gone, and everything is thriving, you know. And I have people come down and say, wow, that's a really great pool. And we also have a historical trail, the Ala Kahakai, which is a Hawaiian trail that went in front of this whole area before the hotel was here, and there's snippets here and there that we're restoring. And then, of course, then I get to throw in my native plants in there too, between the stones. So that's, you know, huge. So you're doing something there that's purposeful. And then, you know, just having such a large, you know, this is 65 acres. So just going, how the heck am I doing this here? And then furthermore, not only with the native plants, but knowing full well how close we are to the Pacific. And we know that nutrients leach. We know that pesticides stay around and so on. So really, I've cut a lot of it out. With soil samples, we're able to really turn it down and put exactly what we want out. Okay, and again, that's every 6 months. I know that pretty good chance that we're not leaching a lot of material out to the Pacific. Fungicides, again, if I have to use it, you know, ID it first, but I haven't had to really.
Do you ever introduce beneficial insects?
No, I did it on the mainland, but here because I'm so afraid that there's so many invaders coming in every day to Hawaii, I don't want to be one of those that are part of that. Not to say the ladybugs and lacewings aren't already here. I didn't want to do it, nor do I see a need. But it's right. Definitely something that if you have problems, it's a great, great tool to use. But remember, you have to have the pest populations there first. Right. It always goes with that bell curve where the pest comes in, then you have the predators coming as well after. I think we covered the nursery trade. And again, just making it, and I think to clarify that, again, just providing that need for the nurserymen, giving that, saying, hey, look, I need 100 of these X species grown. I'm going to pay you 20%. Of course they're going to grow them. And then we'll get that ball rolling. So it's really, really important that we get that out, that a major resort is going after this. In addition, we had our first nenes that came. We have nenes that nested on the north end of the property, which I was able to, you know, kind of tell everyone. You know, not only is this about native plants, it's the native everything. So we had nenes, and they nested, and they've come back, and I'm hoping to get them nested again. We'll do a little ungulate control, pest control, to make sure that they don't get affected, the babies affected by that. So that's another thing going along, too.
Raymond Keenan, thank you for sharing.
Thank you very much for your time.
It's been a pleasure. Great day in paradise.
Yes, of course. Of course.
I'm Tom Wilburn reporting from the Big Island of Hawaii at the Hilton Waikoloa Village. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Hello.